Hello, everybody. Today's show. Amy Kavanaugh is back with us. Amy, we got you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. Sounds really good.
Perfect. I'm
Alrighty.
Not in the chat room, but so if someone can just, I'm trying to figure out a way to get some internet access here. So I'm not in the chat room, so I can't see I can't see the question. So if you can just stop me,
okay.
Or if somebody can just monitor that and chime in.
Yeah. You bet. I will
figure this out.
Any questions they type, I'll read on to you. How about that?
Perfect. All these energy challenged light workers. Anyway, sorry about yesterday. I'm actually at a conference. I had to go to see the IRS. So, for the job that where most of my money comes from. But anyway, were you going to start with something, or do you just want me to take it away?
Just the usual announcements for those of you who are tuned in as guests today. Our master psychic is Jessica Smith. He's on a little bit of a break. It's like he covered me for a couple weeks, and he had a death in his family, and he really appreciated that little bit of silence, moment of silence and prayer that you had for him the other day. That was really nice. I had posted some stuff on Facebook, and apparently it caused havoc with some of the members of his family and extended whatever, and he went through and address that. So it's like, yeah, we're hopefully back to a better keel, but he's still got a lot to deal with. But so we send out prayers and love and light to Jethro. He is going to try to be back. I'm not sure. He's not positive. He might try to do this weekend shows. So for those of you guys who are listening and kind of waiting for him to be back on to get like a mini reading from him, he might be back with us at 773-897-6461 tomorrow, possibly. We're kind of hoping. Other than that, best way to get a hold of him, you can access his website, which is www.jethrosmith.net. And he does have the book that he and Kay wrote, Living in the Psychic Realm, available there. If you request one, he can get you an autographed copy of that. His and Kay's book is also available through Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Let's see, his Gmail is jethropsychic@gmail.com. His other email is psychicjethro@aol.com, and he does take questions and does readings through email as well as doing personal readings through his phone, which is 928-284-0437. You can call and schedule an appointment with him there. And he is also on Facebook. If you just go on and Google Jethro Smith in Tampa, Florida, that's him. You will find him. And all his information is, contact information is also on his website, which I haven't even gotten a chance to go and look at his new website since Kay redid it. It's like, I'm really remiss. I need to go do that. For myself, I am Kelly, and my Gmail is kcbirthcards@gmail.com or 719-289-4907. I do birth card readings. I also have Organic Gold Healthy Coffee. And I also do Melaleuca, so I'm kind of into the health stuff. And I also I do Reiki. That's hands-on stuff, but also it goes long distance. So it's like I do a lot of modalities. So like Jethro told me I need to come out of the closet with all of them. So starting to kind of go, okay, fine, I'll own up to him. That's fine. I can do that. Anyway, today we have with us Amy Cavanaugh, and she kind of got shortchanged the other day. It's like she had been to this really cool seminar moment, and she learned a lot of stuff on the chakras, and she started with the red chakra and the survival and the root, and I believe she's going to finish up today, so I'm just going to have her take it away. If you guys have any questions in chat, go ahead and do that. I'm not sure how many in the queue, you know, signed in hoping for a reading today. I'm not sure, you know, she finishes up and we have a little bit of time towards the end of the show because we do just have an hour today. I'll try to see if we can do, like, you know, maybe a few readings, card readings, many things at the end of the show. So other than that, any questions, direct to her. And we kind of addressed what chakras were last time. And I see, let's see, nope, Jan's not here, but Becky's here. We have Hawaii Linda, we have Will Ferry, and C. Rita. So I'll type to people in chat and while Amy tells us about what's going on with our chakras.
Thanks. And yes, if any of you haven't had a reading with Jethro, he's a very powerful reader. It's amazing. Picks up real big on the energy. Really, really big on the energy. Both things that are sort of guiding your past and the things in the future, and they're very powerful. And Kelly, you know, Reiki, you're talking about, I'm actually going to take Reiki 2 next week, and Reiki is very, very powerful. Energy healing is interesting because I'm a hospice worker, and I live in the South. So in the South, we have these religions that I'm not so much familiar with, but they have religions that lay on hands. And, of course, they use different words for it. There's certain, only the elders can do it, which is like Reiki. You need to be attuned to do the Reiki. Basically, it sounded to me like it was just a matter of semantics, and, you know, the universe is going through so many changes. People are going through changes. Universe, planets going through changes. So we really need all hands on deck. So if any of you feel like, oh, yeah, well, I kind of know how to, you know, everybody has something to bring to the table. It was funny because I had a reading and they said, when are you going to start doing readings? I was like, not anytime soon. And then Jethro was like, I really need you to be on the show. So I just prayed about it, and I said, I'm just going to come from a place of truth. I'm not going to be like a fake psychic. I'm not going to try to be, you know, fake Jethro or fake, you know, come from a sacred place and add value. So if any of you are best way to develop your clairs or, you know, your skills is to practice. So anyway, we were talking about the root chakra, and just from a different sort of perspective of, I think a lot of us have seen the charts and we know what it means maybe from Eastern philosophy, but it's like, what does the chakra mean in your life today? And can everyone hear me okay? I'm getting a little bit of feedback, but as long as everyone can hear me, I'm fine.
Yeah,
so,
that's probably actually me. That's probably my speakerphone. It's like I hear better, but let me see if I do this. Is that better?
Yeah, that's
that
fine. Like, yeah, it wasn't, okay. I mean, if it was bothering anybody else, you know, because until we, and that was one of the things, I was fortunate to win Ariel Wolf. She was a medium and an energy worker who's now in spirit scholarship to the Celebrate Your Life conference and, you know, got to meet all sorts of, you know, mediums. James von Prague, Marianne Williams, everybody under the sun. It was like a dream come true. But the one thing that everybody was saying, especially what we were saying when we would retreat to the cocktail lounge to figure out what this really meant, was that unless you're doing the work, unless you're, you know, your chakras can be all in line, and if you, you know, snap at, you know, we're human. And we're going to have human experiences. But unless you can take these principles and integrate them into your life and the way you live your life and the choices that you make, you know, it's probably not worth it. Because it's about, you know, it's about changing who we are and living more in tune with the natural law, you know, with the natural laws of the universe. So that's why I really like this idea of taking the chakra from some mythical thing that's, you know, got a woman in a lotus position to a walking, talking, human, mistake-making human being. And, you know, when Kelly was sharing a little bit about what Jethro's going through, having gone through a couple of deaths myself, families just, you know, we don't know how to act when people die. And we come from a place of fear. And, you know, we think of our family as being our tribe, but for a lot of us, our families are not in an emotional place where they can be our tribe. So that's a wonderful thing, I think, about Blog Talk Radio, about Facebook, and these communities that we're creating is we're creating new tribes. And, you know, we can hold Jethro in light, because when someone dies, it's almost, you know, it's almost worse for when someone who works with spirits and is, you know, involved in this, when they have the human experience of death, because no matter how woo-woo you are, as I call it, no matter how attuned you are, and no matter, you could sit on, you know, you could have water from every holy place and everything, it is still a human experience, and it is still a loss. And to sugarcoat it with this, you know, certainly most of us, you know, have a clear understanding of, you know, the afterlife and things like that, but there is still a loss, and it's still very sad. And, you know, families do tend to not be in a place, you know, so we really need to be Jethro's emotional tribe and, you know, hold him in the light through this, and also respect his wishes. You know, I'm sure if it was just him, you know, we didn't put it, nothing was put up was inappropriate or gossipy or salacious or anything. It's just we need to, you know, Jethro needs to interact with his family, that so we just need to be there for support. And it can be very difficult, because it's like, well, you know, do the laws of the universe work if, you know, these I still can't get along with my family. That's, you know, sort of, anyway, the way it goes. So that really is that really is the root chakra at work. You know, it's very, you know, when someone dies, that is a, you know, especially when your mother dies, that is a strong source. It's from where you came. You know, we came from the universe. We came through our mother's birth, you know, we came through our mother's birth canal, which brings us up to the second chakra. And now the second chakra, which is orange, and is considered to be the sacral chakra, and some people call it the sex chakra. But we're not going to talk so much about sex today. Really going to talk about how it, when you take that from the tribe, which is the group, one chakra up, we're getting a little closer. If you remember what I said on whatever day it was, I don't even know what day it is, Wednesday. The root chakra is the tribe, and then that's a larger group, and then we're going more and more closer to, as we go up the body, we're going in more into our more human, you know, we become more human, and then more into our spiritual chakras and things like that, so we're growing. So one step up, about two fingers below the belly button, is the second chakra, sacred chakra, navel chakra, sex chakra, whatever you want to call it. It is, each of them has a different type of energy, male or female. Now, this is, has female energy. That doesn't mean that only females have a second chakra. It's just that it's more the female energy, where it's more of a, you know, because it's the giving birth concept of giving birth, women give birth, as opposed to the first chakra, the root chakra, base chakra, has a earth energy, is earth and a male, and it's a male energy. Resonates, the earth resonates to our sense of smell. The second chakra, the sacral chakra, resonates to our sense of taste. The root chakra, its element is earth, again, because we're giving roots into the ground. The second chakra, sacred chakra, is its associated element is water. Now, if you remember, we talked about how each of them resonates to a note. And honestly, if you're having a problem in a particular area, which is a particular chakra controls, for example, with the root chakra, we're talking about lower back pain and sciatica. And it's interesting, right before I made this call, I called my mother, the woman who forces me to go find new tribe members. And the first thing, I haven't talked in a week and a half. Hi, how are you? She knows I'm very busy, off on the road for 2 weeks. My sciatica really hurts. Not, hi, Amy, it's so good to hear you. Again, and when Jeff, if you could have, I wish the whole universe could have been on the phone when Jethro read her, because he picked up once on a phone call when it was on Blog Talk Radio, and he had to go lay down because her energy is so distorted. Bless her heart for trying. Bless her heart for even being receptive to this. And anybody's capable of change, but you know, it. She's not stable, safe, secure. She's not rooted in her life. And as a result, all of her physical dysfunctions, which have been many for a very long time, are curiously related to the root chakra. So where I was going with this is, so if you've got, so my mother, instead of, she had two choices. She could whine to me, but an improvement would be if she sang a song to me in the key of C, because that's the note that resonates to the red chakra, or the first chakra. And there's some energy workers and some healers that use the vibrations of the different tuning forks associated with the musical note, because it resonates to that particular chakra. So it all works together. You know, it all works together. You're not going to be able to, like someone like, not to pick on my mother, but I will. You know, at this point in her life, she's not going to be able to, like, pick up a bloodstone and chant in the key of C and heal herself. But those are triggers, and everything has vibrational energy. But anybody who thinks that they're going to heal their own lifetime of, you know, bad choices or bad feelings about themselves or something by walking around with a rock in their pot, you know, there's work to be done. And the work involves changing, not so much change, not because you just have to change, and sometimes the hardest thing is you just have to change your mind a little bit. So
yeah.
As we move forward into, I'm kind of vacillating back and forth, going back to the root chakra for those who were not here. Do you remember? The root chakra is associated with the adrenal gland. The adrenal gland has to do with your spinal column, your bones, your teeth, the basic foundation of you being a human being. Going up, one up to the orange sacral or navel chakra, we're talking about, no big surprise, the reproductive system. It's where our estrogen and progesterone are produced. It controls our pelvis, our kidneys, our bladder, different things like that. So really it's more, you know, when you think of the root chakra and the parts of the body, that's really just our very primal self, you know, the basic things you need to be a human. Now we're one up and we're getting a little bit more evolved. You know, we have sex organs. Yeah. Not all animals have sex organs and things like that. But, again, it's not all about sex. And I think that many people, if they address some of the other issues related to the sacred chakra, their sex life might get a little bit better. But it's not about, unfortunately, okay, whichever the case may be, you're not going to fix a faulty sacral chakra by having more sex or looking at Playboy or whatever, whatever else you might think of doing. The dysfunctions are lower back pain, again, not the sciatica, but just lower back pain, a lot of OBGYN problems, urinary infections, but it's also our money chakra. And it's really interesting if you think about, it's also our guilt chakra, our money chakra, and where we have power and control. So if you think about it, in terms of, you know, you don't think of money. We think of, you know, we talked about all the different chakras, and off the top of my head, I would think that money was more related to your solar plexus and you can and yourself, but it's really more down towards, it's not in your root chakra, or maybe even in your root chakra. It's not really in your root chakra because there you're really prominent. You're not even, there's not an exchange. Down in the root chakra, there's not an exchange. You just see something and you take it. But money involves an exchange. Money involves an exchange, a value exchange. And so does sex. You know, so does power and so does control. And you look at so many women who creativity comes from this chakra as well, because just like we create life, you know, every idea really comes out of a birth canal. And does it come out, is it coming out of a place of love? Is it coming out of fear? Is it coming out of a place to control someone else? And the biggest way that we manage our second chakra, our sacred chakra, is with the choices we make. The choices we make with money, the choices we make in our partners, and the choices we make in how we feel about ourselves. Now, if you think about it, it's the menopause chakra for the women that are on the phone that are of a certain age, as they say. You know, you can choose to go through your menopause, and it's also the chakra that often gets blocked. If you think about the life of a 50-something-year-old woman, you know, they probably still have a sex drive, but they just aren't feeling as good about their body. So their feelings about sex change, you know, they're no longer giving children. For women who get to this age who never had children, there's a lot of regret and sometimes shame. There's a lot of shame associated for women because either their husbands, you know, they may have been through a divorce, and men seem to be able to get younger mates or easier than women, or they might be, like myself, a widow. It's confusing. But as well. That's why we have all of our chakras. So this one might not be, we've already had our children. This one might not be one that we're primarily operating at, but it can't just shrivel up. It can't just shrivel up and die. Even if you're not having sex, you are a sexual self. Even if you're not having sex with yourself, you're still a sexual self, and you're going to have to honor your sexual self. For me personally, I mean, my sacral chakra took a lot of hits in the past 5 years. It started with breast cancer, and I lost my breast. My reconstruction failed, so that didn't go so good. And then my husband got sick and died, but the year before that, he was having some, you know, we separated. So I remember my mantra every morning, I was like, I would wake up every morning, instead of with excitement for the new day, I would be like, oh my God, I have no money, I have no boobs, I have no husband, you know. So those are all pretty, fortunately I've changed. None of that's changed, but my attitude's changed.
There you
about
go.
It.
Exactly.
You know, my attitude has changed about it. And you really don't need to have boobs to have to be sexually attracted to someone. You need your whole person. So,
right.
But it really is a chakra where women who are in their 50s, they've had their kids or they haven't had their kids, you know, things are changing, relationships are changing, and if you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's related to money and shopping. Yeah, it's a real change of life. And, you know, and are you going to buy into the dysfunction? I mean, how many of you have ever been around a woman who's going through, you know, nobody really cares about you. Somehow we feel like, you know, and again, I don't know who's in the room, but I'm just talking from, you know,
right.
I'm having a hot flash, big deal, you know. We don't need to know about it. Somehow or other, women get to this age and they think that this thing that they're going through is of great interest to the rest of humanity, and it's really not. You know, so really, in your mind, how are you going to go, you know, so, oh, yeah, so I'm a little bit hot, you know, whatever. Do you want to fine-tune your sacred chakra so that it's going to serve you in this next stage of your life, or are you going to let it just run you? It's the money chakra.
Right.
You notice, you know, women find this hobby of shopping. Fortunately or unfortunately, because the economy, it's sort of gone down. But it was funny to me when I was at this conference. This is a large conference, and it takes a lot of money to host something of that nature, bringing in these top speakers and everything
right.
that was involved. So they had a lot of booths, right? So here we are in these conferences, learning all these things, you know, learning the change comes from within. You know, and then it was just lined with stuff that we could buy to maybe take the short route. You know, so if there was something that, it's not like you're not supposed to buy anything. It's not supposed to be like the only way we're going to be fully operating spiritual beings is to own nothing. You know, it's
right.
like your intention. Are you buying this because you want a nice memory of this wonderful time? Or are you buying this because you think
right.
it's going to be the shortcut for, you know, if I just tape this citrine to the back of my neck or something, I won't have hot flashes. But money, you know, we tend to, and we had a lot of it in a while, you know, or we had access to it in the form of credit or credit cards and stuff. And a lot of people acted out with money. A lot of people were fearful. They weren't comfortable with their sexuality, so they just use their money to make their sports car their sexual self instead of themselves being their sexual self. And that's part of the shift, you know. My money all got taken away from me as part of a series of illnesses and things like that. And, you know, I'm not going to lie and say, oh, I'm a better person without it. You know, do I miss
right.
some of the things I used to have? Certainly, yes. But,
yeah.
But so a lot of us are going
like,
through this.
Is there things that you really
The question is it things you really needed, or was it the luxuries of life? It's like, you know, that's one of the questions we can ask ourselves when we find ourselves in kind of like that downsizing moment where it's like, I think you mentioned that last time, you were living in like 300 square feet of space, and it's like, is it what you need for life, or is it just the finer things?
Exactly. And even there's nothing wrong with having nice things. In fact, that's part of the money thing too. People who scrimp and save and get like this food that isn't really food because it was less expensive, or clothing that they don't like because it's less expensive. It's not about, you know, living and taking a vow of poverty or anything like that. It's just like using this money as an expression of yourself. Even what do you do with your money when you get change back from the store? And do you do?
Right.
And I mean, I learned this weekend. It's not like, oh yeah, and my money's all straight. Do you cut it? Do you bless it? You know, or do you shove it in your pocket? You know, do you have money all over the place in unintentionally? You know, do you just gravitate to these bright shiny things and buy them, or do you make a decision of, you know, really almost everything you should buy, everything you're buying, should treat it with the same sort of decision making you do if you were going to go get a dog or something, you know, how is this going to fit into my, how is this going to fit into my lifestyle, you know, whether it's an item of clothes, the food you eat, whatever. And when you get the money back, you know, do you organize it nicely in your wallet? Do you bless it? Do you thank it? Different things like that. And
right.
It's interesting how much money, especially when we don't have money, how much money we waste, because we get a little bit of extra money and it's like, oh, we need that next thing. You know, I want this. And it's like, you know, but really, especially in these economic times that we're going through, and that we are probably getting ready to go through, that are going to get a little bit worse, we can have two attitudes about money. We can do what so many of us have always done and come from a place of fear, and that there isn't enough, or we can, you know, bless our money, use it wisely, you know. Are you going to buy things that, you know, if you feel strongly about a certain social issue, but then you're buying things that support that, you know, make wise decisions with your money. I'm a huge supporter of medical marijuana because of part of my journey and why I don't use it. I've become sort of a spokesperson for it and a respected spokesperson. And I found out that Snapple gives an awful lot of money to organizations that fight to keep marijuana illegal. So,
oh, wow.
Just because I'm lazy. And then the other day I was at an event and they were handing out free Snapple and I drank one. You know, does that mean I'm going to go to hell? No.
No.
But I had an opportunity to say, no, thank you. Or I could have said, or if I wanted to, I could have said, no, thank you, because did you know this? And educate people. But instead, I was just like, oh, there's something. I want it. You know, not even, you know, so. Is everyone in a position where they can buy everything organic and everything green and everything that was only made from loving human people? You know, perhaps not.
Right.
But if your money is an expression of yourself, treat it that way, you know, use it that way. Don't settle for less. It's interesting. The French don't have, this is a story from my old life. My daughter was going to her prom, right? So we could decide, this is back when we were in a different mode of thinking, and again, this just resonates to this particular chakra. And we lived in a town where everybody had lots of things. But we needed to be, her and I together, some sort of collective consciousness that her and I had. We decided we're going to France to get her prom dress, right? France to get her prom dress. We didn't, because we were going to go to a consignment store in France to get some designer prom dress. Well, they don't have consignment stores in France because everybody in France, even the lower income people, everybody has like a Chanel suit or something. They keep it their entire lifetime. We don't keep things. I mean, just go be a trash collector, or just go to Goodwill and you'll see how much respect we have for the belong, you know, the money that we spend. Oh, look, there, Pet Rock. Oh, look, there, Anita, Kintsuna. You know, we're just so
We tend to be disposable. Our society tends to be a disposable, throwaway society, and it's like, I was raised with parents who went through the Great Depression, and I'm not. And people call me, it's like, oh my goodness, you keep string, you keep this. It's like, yeah, because my parents taught me that it's like, sometimes you can't replace things. And of course, you know, sometimes people dispose of their heritage and their family history the same way, and that's kind of sad.
Exactly, because despite, even though there are, you know, even though you may have to go find new tribes to be in, you know, you're still, your family, you're carrying your family's DNA in you, you know, you're carrying your heritage. And so many, if you go on to, especially like Greg Braden or, you know, some of these sort of like spiritual anthropologist type people, the more you can get in touch with the fact that we didn't just get here yesterday and we're no smarter and that we have evolved and that our ancestors much smarter. Are you still there?
Yeah, we lost you there for, we dropped a couple words in there.
Okay. Anyway, you know, they are, and you can't, you know, maybe it is in your best interest not to spend a lot of time around your family, but you still need to find a way to honor that tribe, you know, to honor that tribe, because you don't just go to, because when you go to one, just go off to another tribe, you know, do you remember what they would do to people who left the tribe? Or let's take it to a step further. Think of what they do to someone who leaves a gang or a motorcycle gang. You know, they kill you. So you certainly still want to have respect. You may need to have other support systems in place and things like that, and, you know, creating these other sort of tribes of like-minded people, but they're in your DNA. So you're, you know, so anyway.
You're still tied to them. You can pick your friends, but not your family.
Right. So now that you're up into your second chakra here, where it is a control over your emotions, you can make a decision. I love my mother, but I know that when I get around her, I turn into a hysterical, crazy person. So perhaps it's better to just send her cards, keep the phone calls short, or have some code where it was funny because Keith, my husband, used to always say, why do you get in those fights with your mother? When she says something, why don't you just say, how's Tux? Tux was her cat, you know, and he could just change it around, change the energy around. So,
and now
you know, again,
to,
and
you
I'll go ahead.
Reiki, you can send a Reiki. I say now you're getting to the point. I say now you're getting to the point where you have Reiki, so you can send her Reiki energy for like healing and health.
But before I can do that, I have to make the decision that I want to. You know, I have to make the decision that I want to, and it sort of becomes this balancing act between the second chakra I feel and the first chakra where I want my mother to make me feel comfortable. So I act you know, an animal out getting its next food without discernment, without filtering my emotions, you know. So you have to make the decision. Sure, you can send a Reiki, you know, you can send a Reiki, you could, you know, put her up in the light. You can do things as long as you want to, you know. And that's where the second chakra starts coming into play, how we live our life every day. It's not so much about making a choice to carry a citrine or making a choice to eat apricots. Those things might remind you to make a choice, to make a choice, to make a choice, to make a choice, to want to be in pleasure or pain, you know. And what are we going to do with our sex? Are we going to stay in bad relationships just because, you know, the sex is good? Are we going to stay in a bad relationship just because we have power or control over someone? And those are the decisions that are really made in this second chakra. So you can see how, you know, and you really can't, I mean, you can read all the books in the world. You can stay in a meditative state for days at a time. You can go take this class with this person, that person, Dalai Lama, monks, whatever. But, and it's so easy for us to just want to gravitate to those higher chakras. But again, it's almost like a geographic cure. And our whole selves and our whole purpose for being here will, you know, not be manifested until we have each of our chakras working in each in order, because then we will have our house in order. And it's so funny because so many of us, I forget if I said this the other day, but we had to ask, you know, God a question. I cannot tell you how many people asked the question, when am I going to be able to get out of here? Or when am I going to be, am I going to have to come back to Earth and things like that?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't get these earthbound things straight and the lessons, you know,
you have to go to keep the grade. I kind of call it the schoolhouse of life.
Right.
If you didn't pass fourth grade the first time, you got to come do a repeat.
Yeah, and I think it's real easy to say, well, I'll just skip that because I'm sick of Earth and stuff, and I'm just going to start talking to dead people because, you know, they're so,
right.
You know, I tell everybody, like, you know, anybody can be married to a dead person. Anybody can be married to a dead person. Hold
right.
on, just 1 second, I'm coming back.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. This is the business setup for the day. Sorry. Okay, sorry about that. So,
okay.
Yeah, you know, it's really easy. You know, I just love Keith now that he's dead, you know, because he's just so easy to get, you know, he's so easy to get along with. But, you know, until we have to
get that initiation on the other side and they go, oh, this is what it's about. They all of a sudden have, you know, when the veil is stripped away and they're there, they go, oh, now I see clearly.
Now I see clearly. And I think a lot of people start getting it from my hospice work. I see a lot of people get the purpose of life, which is the first, second,
right.
and third chakras, way close to the end. And then they're afraid to die. And then they hang on with illness and, you know, when it's probably not in, you know, it's so, you know, we're here, we're human, and these first three chakras, and I know I'm just as guilty as everybody else of being so
learning.
Interested in the, you know, the, you know, the clairs, the clairvoyance, and the all the different clairs, but we are a physical, an emotional, and a spiritual person. You know, the first chakra is our physical self, that we're walking the earth and we have the skeletal matter. We're particles. And then the second chakra, we get a little bit more human and we're getting closer to, this is really where our emotional self sort of comes into play. Our emotions are really what separates us, you know, from the animals. It's where the second chakra is where we feel, and it is really where you think that creation sort of comes from the solar plexus, but really the creation, every idea is born, every idea goes through the birth canal. You know, are you going to bring your ideas and your creativity out, you know, when you make a choice to do something, whether it's take a new job or start giving readings or something like that? Are you doing it for the money, or are you doing it for the creation? And that's where that idea, the abundancy therapy and the, you know, the secret and the laws of attraction come in. If you're doing this from a place of love, if you've made a good decision and you support it, the abundance, and, you know, you will be compensated for it. If you go out into the universe, I mean, how many of you, you know, you go out because you want to find a new boyfriend and you just sit at the bar, you sit there trying to look for someone and you don't find them. It's because your choice to find a partner is coming from a place of fear. It's not in vibration with the rest of the universe. So every single decision, whether it's like what cornflakes you're going to buy, you know, whatever is, has an impact on the universe. So you're leaving a footprint, you know, whether it be the carbon footprint or an emotional footprint, or every single choice you make, you're making a statement about the person that you are. So where are we on time, Kelly?
We have 14 minutes.
Okay. Are there any questions in the room? Are there any people in the room?
Yeah, we've got people coming in and out. We have Becky, we have Rita, Mary Lee just came in.
We've got three guests in the room, you know, numbers. It's like we had quite a few earlier, but it's like I'm having not such a great day, you know, getting people to talk to me or ask questions. And I'll just kind of ask the room, does anybody have any questions for Amy today? Okay, I'm going to carry my ass here, hang on here. About chakras. Okay, I'm going to type that one in there. Does anyone have questions? Question mark. Okay. We do have a caller that's been really, really hanging out with us. Let's see, 225. Shall we go see if they have
yeah.
a question for you? All righty. All righty. Thank you for hanging in with us. Call us from area code 225. We've got Amy Cavanaugh on today, and she's been talking about the chakras. Do you have a question for her? Okay, I'm hearing nothing here. I hope it's not me. Caller at area code 225, are you still there? Okay, not sure on that one. See, I'm not hearing anybody.
Okay, maybe they just,
okay.
maybe it was a while ago that they pressed the one. So we can find a
yeah.
few other things too. So does, I mean, I guess we can ask, does anybody, you know, does this make sense to people? Can anybody think of, you know, when they acted from a place that was, does anybody have any physical ailments in the that you feel like sharing? In the or
that's
just think to
no,
yourself
in
the first or second
so
perfect
like
in the first or second chakra, you know, and instead of just going to the doctor or instead of just taking a pill, you know, you might want to think of some affirmations or, you know, and there's a lot on YouTube. If you look up the different chakras, there's some beautiful meditations, visual meditations where you'll see the color. And you'll hear music that's in the key or the musical note that resonates to the chakra. So, you know, give it a try.
Oh,
and see if it makes you feel different. You know, again, for those of you familiar with Reiki, you can feel the Reiki energy in those different points. But I urge each of you to go out to the YouTube and, you know, find the first chakra meditation. Make sure that it's got the music and the visual, the mandalas or whatever. And for the first chakra, just meditate to the fact that you accept your life, you have enough, you're rooted in life, you're stable, safe, and secure. And think of yourself with roots into the ground. Think of your tribe. Think of your tribe of origin. And think of the people who have become your tribe and that who you rely on for that tribal support. And then again, the same thing with the second chakra. You know, find one that has color orange, it's resonating to the key of D, and think about your feelings. What do you do with your feelings? Are your feelings united with the universe, or are they solely based? It's fine, you know, you can be selfish, you can take care of yourself, but it has to be in tune with the universe or there will be repercussions. You know, how your creative energy, have you launched? I know every single one of us has some idea of something that they want to do. I would love to start something that does this. Have you done anything with it other than, you know, have you taken that thought through the birth canal and started to create it? You know, it doesn't have to be for money. You know, you can be getting, there does need to be a fair, in order for it to be rewarding to you, there does need to be an exchange, but the exchange can be that you get to practice. The exchange can be that you feel a sense of charity or something like that. So, you know, instead of just thinking of the chakras as these mystical things that, you know, that ascended masters and Buddha and people have, think of the chakras just, you know, in your own life. When you see something red, just think about the first chakra. Think about your tribe. Think about
I've got a question real quick. What about foods? It's like if we're trying to like nourish our red chakra, is it beneficial to like, you know, eat red foods? Like, you know, I'm trying to think like beets, like, you know, beet is a red root, you know, red root vegetable, or strawberries or pomegranates or I'm trying to think of other like red foods. Does it benefit our chakras to eat chakra color foods?
Yes. Think of something like red M&Ms. That's what you do. You get a red stone and some red M&Ms, and you will. But no, think of something like red meat. You know, think of like when you're really tired. Think of the times when you really do, for those of us who do eat meat, really crave red meat. It's when we're tired, we're being a little bit more instinctual and primal, and even eating red meat, what it takes to eat it is a little more primal than other foods. And again, it also does resonate, you know, think of beets and the nutritional qualities of beets, same sort of thing. You know, it's for our blood. It certainly does make a difference. And then if you think about the second chakra, we're talking about apricots, carrots, mangoes, oranges, peaches, but it's not in and of itself. I mean, if you're feeling, and again, you can do this with your clothes, you know, the key is to do this in your day-to-day life. For example, we haven't gotten to the throat chakra yet, but if there's some day that you have to go speak to 1,000 people or even speak to 5 people, you know, you have a choice. Wear a blue shirt, you know, wear a blue scarf. If you're feeling kind of at dis-ease with your tribe, put some red on. Have you ever seen the red power tie? You know, there is certain people are going to resonate to the energy.
Right. And I've heard that that's actually good. One of our callers a couple of days ago asked about, she was in, you know, some legal stuff. And I said, you know, dress for court. And this came, you know, directly from an attorney who said, you know, when you're going to go to court, is like wear like, you know, kind of the navy blue or a dark blue, you know, nice suit, something, wear white, you know, blouse if you're going to wear the, you know, blue jacket, but wear like a red scarf around your neck. It's like, it's got something to do with, I haven't studied that enough, but, you know, I mean, this is a guy who told me this. He says, you know, this has to do with your credibility. It's like, you know, if you're wearing the blue, the white, the red, it's like, for some reason, judges look at you as more credible. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, you know, and so I share that with people who I know are going to go into, you know, legal involvements or whatever. It's like, and the other big thing you have to know about judges is judges hate their time wasted. You know?
Exactly. You do. It's interesting because I was, 2 people got to go to this conference. So I brought my daughter's mentor, and she's a communications professor, and she's one of those ladies. She's very feminine, very attractive, and very small. But and she's, everyone else is walking around in their like goddess wear, you know, those flowing outfits and looking like Mother Nature. And that is fine. That is an expression of yourself, and that's fine.
Right.
And there is nothing wrong with looking like that. But if you are trying to convince a judge of something or make it get a mortgage or something like that, you know, dress the part. You do have, this is where we get into the sacred chakra. You know, you've got a choice. You know, you can wear that, and then you can get a resentment when the person thinks, you know, when the person, you don't resonate to that person, or if, you know, someone laughs at what you have on or something like that, you know, then you can get a great big resentment or something like that. Or you can walk through life. If you're not being a chameleon, you're not changing yourself, because yourself is true to the universe. You're just sort of changing your camouflage, just like, you know, a lizard changes to be in different environments, and the animals have these different things where they, you know, spread their feathers or do this, or different ways to respond to different things. We have a larger range. That was going back to this medical marijuana thing that's so important to me. The reason people started listening to me is because I didn't go in a Grateful Dead shirt. I didn't, you know,
exactly.
You know, I looked like they looked, but yeah. I had this idea, and since we looked the same, we sort
right.
of created this temporary root chakra. We created a temporary tribe
right.
between us where we were on common ground, you know,
right.
and it's fine. You have the right to self-expression, and you can say, well, you know, I'm not, you know, you can. Or you can change your mind. And I guess the key to be, see how it works for you. Go to your
yeah.
next. And it was funny because this woman, everyone else has their goddess wear. She's got these, like, suits on, like business suits on. People were coming up to her. She was out in the lobby teaching these people how to shake hands because there's this part between the little part where you connect, and when that hits, there's
right.
there's an experience and stuff like that. And she's teaching all these people to carry business
right.
cards, like even if you're a, you
exactly.
know, if, yeah. you know, if you want to be, you don't have to give your, you know, when you're at your work and, you know, say you're a mortgage, you work at a bank during the day and someone asks for your business card, sure, you don't give them your energy healer business card, but when you're at a conference
right.
like this and that's what
you
want to be, you should have a card that, you know, play the role.
Reflects that.
Where
exactly.
you are, and you're not changing yourself. You are still being true to yourself. That is not
exactly.
changing your clothes, is not compromising who
what
you are.
Who you are, right?
So again, the
but
food,
it
all helps.
It,
the food, you know, eating red food, but the clothing is a huge thing. The clothing is
yeah.
a big thing. And if you think about it, you know, when you think about the different colors and, you know, red meat and red, that is a lower vibration. It's a very dense color.
Right.
And then,
right.
you know, and then orange.
Down
and it is,
brown.
They go in the same row as the spectrum from the lower, you know, the,
right. low to the
darker
high.
And, you know, to the higher and higher vibration. So it all works together, but if you're trying to integrate it into every aspect of your life and not just have this be a part of your life, you know, before you just, you know, try it with the things you already have. Try it with the food you eat because you have to eat every day. Try it with the clothing you wear. Or the pen you use. Go get pens in every color. If you're writing something angry, you know, and you're trying to get it
yeah.
out,
yeah.
write it in red. If
and
you're
you
writing
use,
something.
I, and one thing I learned, too, I got a hot tip from Jethro was when you're doing the writing stuff, use a blank sheet of paper. You don't want blue lines because anytime you put blue in, it gives a different energy to it. So when you actually going to write things, you know, either for manifesting or write things for releasing, you use a blank piece of paper. And it's like, you know, if you need to draw your own lines, you know, and it doesn't matter if your lines are even or if they're not, you know, but you start out with that white blank piece of paper and then do the pen color. Just like you said, that's a really good one.
So there's little things that you can do. I mean, the chakras, you know, they can get, they can take us in all different directions. So anyway, I will, we will swing back around. I think that next Wednesday is when the next one is scheduled, and I might be in or out the next couple of days helping cover for Jethro. But thanks for listening, and I look forward to hearing
yeah.
what everybody did with their first and second chakras and how they fine-tuned them the next time we talk.
And I got a question. Is 60 seconds. Is there like a number? I mean, have you got your business card out? You know, it's like, have you got your website, or is there a place that our, you know, callers or listeners can get a hold
well,
of you?
Well, there is a thing called, and I'll put the link on the psychic chat. I do have Awakening Claire. I have been moving slow, and right now the exchange is that I'm getting the experience and getting the feedback. But if you go to my Facebook page, it's called Awakening Claire, and I'll put the link over on the psychic chat, and it will also be, and I'm also on Facebook. I think I'm friends with a lot of the people.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's moving. It is moving along. It is definitely
cool.
moving forward. I hope everybody else's dreams are moving forward too.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. I'm sorry, they give us a little bit of chat time in here, so it's like I'll finish up, and you're also available on Facebook. So, all righty. And they're giving us a hiatus sign, so it's like, thank you so much, and, you know, thank you for being on and coming back, and we'll see you again this weekend. Like I said, I think he was having Patty McGree on maybe on Sunday, and possibly, I don't know if he's a musical group. I haven't even had time to check my email. It's like,
we'll figure it out.
To be
I'll take
Yeah.
Get in touch with me if you need to fill some basis.
All righty, we sure will. And we'll see you on Wednesday, if nothing else.
Right, exactly. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for being on with us, Amy. And thank the rest of you guys for listening in with us today. It's like we've got...